All right. Ephesians 4 and verse 11. He Himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, and cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but, speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. The church functions as a corporate body in a local, at the local level. This morning in our class we studied a good deal about the Roman Catholic Church. It functions as a corporate body on a universal level. It tries to oversee all the churches, all the congregations throughout the world to a central location of Rome and a papacy and such, and a hierarchy. But in the New Testament, when we talk about the church functioning as a body, we find it functioning on a local level with local organization, local oversight, local work and responsibilities. And that's what we want to begin to look at as we continue to study about Bible authority. It is because churches of Christ need to be able to apply authority to the area of what work God wants us to do together as a group, as a body, as a local congregation. And so when we talk about edification, the word itself, this being a part of the work of a local church, the word itself to edify means to build. It's to build a home or a house. Literally, you put the word together, and it's a compound word that means to build a home or a house. So when he talks about the edifying of ourselves, it's the building up of ourselves or the building up of the body of Christ. His idea of promoting the spiritual growth and development of believers. Now, we acknowledge and grant that in Ephesians 4, we see a context in which he's talking about the building up of the church around the globe, around the world. But as a result of the work of apostles and prophets, we as individuals, we are members of that body of Christ. But now, locally, he has pastors, he's given pastors, elders, overseers. And so there's to be a work, we're going to find in our study tonight, that's in a local capacity of a local congregation. One of the functions God gives us as a group is our edification, to build up, promote spiritual growth and development, to strengthen ourselves, to more firmly establish ourselves, to improve ourselves spiritually. In Colossians 2 and verses 6 and 7, God's Word says, "You therefore, as you therefore receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith, even as you've been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving." So these are the elements of edification: to be rooted and built up, to be established, to be strengthened, to improve ourselves. As you go into this context, verse 4 is the warning: don't let anyone deceive you with persuasive words. For though I'm absent in the flesh, verse 5, Paul wrote, "I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ." So when we are built up, when we are established in our faith, there is good order, there is steadfastness, there is then the ability to not to prevent deception with the persuasive words of human wisdom, as he goes on to talk about in verse 8, or the philosophies and traditions of men. But instead, verse 9, he says, "Remember, you are," or verse 10, "you are complete in Him." The goal of edification is to strengthen and complete us, to so equip us that we have the strength, the capability of accomplishing in our individual lives as Christians and together as a congregation what God wants of us, what God calls us to in lives of faith, in lives of service and devotion to His cause, His work and will. Without question, then, the work of promoting spiritual growth is a mission of a local church. 1 Corinthians 14 and 26 is enough for us to see that God expects the work of a local church to be that of strengthening the members in the faith. "How is it then, brethren, whenever you come together. So now he said you've come together as a congregation. He used this expression on a number of occasions in the book of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 11. He uses it several times. So, and even in this chapter, verse 23, if the whole church comes together in one place, that he's talking about an assembly, a worship assembly in his context. So when you come together, each of you has a psalm, has a teaching, has a tongue, has a revelation, has an interpretation. Let all things be done for edification. So when we come together, when we function together here, and though individuals have a particular work to do, such as teaching, we're to be doing it for the edification of all, for the edification of the body, of the group. One of our works as a local church is the spiritual building up of the members of this congregation, of the Christians here. The tool God has given us to accomplish this building project is His Word. In Acts 20 and verse 32, Word of God said, Paul, to the elders of the church at Ephesus, and it's important that you see that context because he is speaking to the overseers, the shepherds, the bishops of souls in Ephesus, of the church at Ephesus. And he, as he said in verse 28, and talked to them about doing that work, in verse 32, he says, Now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. God's word of grace can build you up, can edify you, can strengthen you, can stabilize you, can strengthen you in accomplishing all that God expects, all that God deserves, all that God wants. All that He has placed upon you as overseers of that local church, and indeed, by extension, for every Christian, the tool that we are to use is that same word. The word that equips an elder to oversee a flock and help it grow and be edified is the same tool that you and I use individually and are to be using. And in fact, those who would oversee us in a local church are inculcating or instructing us with, teaching us to use. And that is God's Word in our individual lives. Look at 1 Peter 2. In 1 Peter 2, in verse 2, he said, As newborn babes desire the pure milk of the Word, or sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. So God's Word is the tool. It's the means by which we grow. We have to ingest it. We have to use it. Note, in his context, he says, if you've tasted that the Lord is gracious, if you're the benefactor of God's grace, then use His Word to grow, to be strengthened, to be built up. And he goes on in his context to say, you're a living stone, coming to Him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. You also, as living stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. See, brethren, as Christians, we are to be built up so that we can function as a living stone in the temple of God, in the house of God. God's house is built upon Jesus Christ, the chief cornerstone. Seth read for I knew you'd get that verse in there somehow. Acts 4. And every one of us are living stones. We're priests in the house, but we have to be built up. You see, we have to be secure to the chief cornerstone, Jesus Christ and His will. Look what's not the mechanism for edifying churches. Games and gimmicks. Not a social agenda. It's not a medical agenda. It's not a political agenda. Those things are not the mechanisms for edification. And that's why churches of Christ that are following the Bible authority, they are not engaging in those kinds of things, thinking that's the mechanism of building up the body. Can I use an illustration here? I'm kind of slow that way. It just came to me a while ago. But I'm going to use this illustration from something that individuals do here that is not a part of the work of this local church. And contrast that to the fact that that very sort of thing is often used as a part of the work of a local church. Some of you ladies are involved in what you call secret sisters. And you draw names, I guess, and you give gifts, and you get together, and that's great. Individual work, good thing. But it's not overseen by the elders of this church, is it? That'd be unscriptural, because there's no Bible authority for something like that.
But you see, that's the very thing that in many churches of Christ, they do that very thing. They say, well, we're going to make this a part of one of our ministries. And we're going to have a secret sister ministry or a WOW ministry, you know, women of worth or something like that. We're going to put it under the oversight of elders of our church. And that's going to be a part of our work because that builds us up. Well, now, it's sure a good thing to get together. And it's a happy occasion. It's a joyful thing for Christians to get together. But what's God's tool to build us up spiritually? As a part of the work of the church to build us to fashion and mold us into the image of Christ? Colossians 2, Ephesians 4. Not a social agenda, not a political agenda, not a medical agenda, not games and gimmicks. The Word of God. You see, if we add these things, and many churches of Christ have added these things into their work, and they call it edification, they misuse the word. They misuse the concept without Bible authority. So keep doing the individual work you're doing. It's a good thing. But see and understand, as we know, we can't put that under the oversight of elders and make that a part of the work of the local church because we would have no authority to do that. Bible's silent on that. We've studied about silence, haven't we, already? We have no right to add to the silence of God. So we put it where it ought to be, with individuals, not with the oversight of an eldership. Unfortunately, there are many churches of Christ that distinction has eluded. And they laid that aside and long ago have entered into all these other areas and called it edification. And that is a misuse of the term as it is used in Scripture. Scriptural use is the building up of the body of Christ. How? With apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers. Ephesians 4, verses 11 and 12. I hope you understand that illustration. I hope you see the distinction and the difference. If we understand that, if we grasp that, then we're on the right track of grasping what the work of the local church is in this area of edification. Before we get to the congregation itself, let's just talk for a few minutes about edification as the people of God, and where it is and what its advantage is and what the advantages are, at least in brief. We can't be exhaustive here, but turn with me to Acts 14, 21 and 22 for a minute. And see here that on Paul's first preaching journey, as he begins to go back through some of the places and return to the places previously visited and where the Word of God had been preached, churches had been established because brethren had obeyed the gospel, and now there are local churches in these areas. When they had preached the gospel to that city, that is to Derbe, they and made many disciples, they returned to Lystra and Iconium and Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples. And the question would be, how are they strengthening the souls of the disciples? With the social gospel? With the medical mission? With an education program K through 12 or child care or something like that? No. Strengthening the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith. They were exhorting them with the Word of God and with the exhortations of the gospel, saying, we must through many tribulations enter the kingdom of God. And they go on to appoint elders and so forth. The edification, the strengthening of the faith of Christians, that's the work we're to be involved in this area of building up. Edification helps us withstand temptation. Ephesians 4, 11 through 16 that we read at the beginning. You see that when we are built up, when we are strengthened in our faith through the teaching that comes from the apostles and prophets, when we have the oversight of pastors, when we have teachers instructing us, when we have evangelists that are proclaiming the gospel, we are being equipped, we are being perfected or completed to do the work of service. And the body of Christ is strengthened. Now, the result of that in this context is we're not going to be tossed to and fro. He says we grow to maturity, verse 13, and stability, verse 14. No longer children. No longer cast about by the tricks of men, by the wiles of men, by the cunning devices of Satan and his servants that would destroy faith with error. No, he says because of the strength of faith and maturity, we are able to withstand those things. You see, spiritual maturity enhances our ability to recognize sin, to recognize good and recognize evil, to choose the good, abstain from the evil, recognize the error, don't be cast about by it. You see, all this is a benefit of edification. This is the work we're to be about, is so that we are not plunged into sin, error, and spiritual death. Through the use of the Scriptures, we're able to discern good and evil, Hebrews 5, 13 and 14. Maturity enables that to happen. We must be able to grow in our use of the armor of God to withstand Satan. As Ephesians 6 talks at length about putting on that armor to be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, to put the armor on, we have to be familiar with it, don't we? So we have to strengthen ourselves with truth, verse 14, and righteousness, and the gospel of peace and faith, you see, in our salvation, and the Word of God and prayer. All of these elements take use in our lives. The exhortations of God's Word, the teachings from God's Word help us to grow in our faith and to grow in our maturity so that we can live shielded by God's armor, withstand and overcome Satan with the power of Jesus Christ in our lives. But we have to choose to do that, don't we? You see, the work of edification is a work that helps us resist sin. It's a work that helps us develop our character. Of course, in the resisting of sin is because there's a counterpoint that we are choosing instead to develop the kind of people that we are to be in faith and in the character of our conduct. In 2 Peter 1, 5 says, "For this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith the virtue." And I want you to see how the individual nature of this here is. We have to decide as individual Christians that we will be strengthened, that we will grow, that we will be built up. So we have to decide to add to our faith. And he says, add to your faith. You decide, are you going to add to your faith virtue, that is moral courage, and virtue knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, our edification gets down to developing ourselves, choosing, deliberately deciding that we're not going to stay stagnant, and we're not going to be stagnant or be static. We're going to grow, be built up. And by doing that, we will bear fruit. By doing that, he goes on to say, we will make our calling and election sure. We'll have security in Jesus Christ, verse 10, when we give ourselves to personal edification, and there'll be entrance into the eternal kingdom. Our strengthening, our building up, is something that we can help one another with, and that we are to be helping one another with. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 11 says, "Therefore comfort one another and edify one another, just as you also are doing." So we're to encourage, comfort, exhort, and we're to edify. We're to build up each other. Paul said that was his work, what he was giving himself to in 2 Corinthians 12 and 19, when he said, "We do all things, beloved, for your edification." We do it for so you can be stronger. So we're to be helping one another. We're to be exhorting one another in truth. We're to be warning one another of sin. We're to be encouraging good works. We're to be helping each other in faith. Why? For the growth of the church. Because we're all members of one body. 1 Corinthians 12, 18 through 20. By the way, verse 16. Let me start in line, I guess. Ephesians 4, 16. He says that when each member of the body is doing his part, the body grows. When each one of us are doing our parts, living a life of faith and serving one another, helping one another, then the body's strengthened. It's when we don't do that, the body is weakened. Why? Because, see, we're all members of one body, 1 Corinthians 12, 18 through 20. We all have different parts in the one body. Just as our body has many members, he says, God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as he pleased. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now indeed there are many members, yet one body. The goal of the body is to function properly. That's its objective. That's its purpose. Well, as each member is doing its part, the body functions. The body gets stronger. You see, it meets its potential. And so, when we see passages like Galatians 6 that says, you who are spiritual, help the weak. Help those who are overcome and trespass. Here's the body functioning. Here's one helping another. Here's one trying to help build up and strengthen another, bear one another's burdens and fulfill the law of Christ. That's helping to edify the body of Christ and help spiritual growth in the church. We need edification for harmony in this church. If we're to have harmony among ourselves, then we need to be oriented toward edification. Romans 14:19, let us pursue the things that make for peace and things whereby we may edify one another. Not pursue the things whereby we can satisfy ourselves, but pursue the things whereby we edify, we strengthen, we build up each other. That's why we need edification here, you see. So this church will live in harmony. We will be in harmony with one another. And Matthew 5 is an illustration of the point. During the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, if you bring a gift to the altar and you remember your brother has something against you, you leave your gift before the altar and go your way and be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gift. Don't go through your life as a Christian knowing you've got something against a brother or he's got something against you or a sister and you just let it be. That destroys harmony in the body of Christ. We can't be effective. Furthermore, you see, it jeopardizes your soul. Verse 25 and 26. Verses 25 and 26. So, we need to help each other by promoting things that make for peace in truth and righteousness and in Jesus Christ. That's how we help edify one another. Of course, we do it for the salvation of Christians. See, our salvation is involved. Whether it be the growth of each individual to not be tossed about, the peace that comes to avoid sin between each other, and of course our salvation as Christians by putting away all those things that are harmful as we instead put God's Word into our hearts and into our lives. Edification is a work that we've got to be involved in daily. Now, I want us to see that in a sense, and there's a real sense, a very important sense, edification is individual. Because the church is built up when each Christian grows. That's been a thread throughout these verses we've read. Colossians 2, we have to decide to be built up in our faith and strengthened in our faith. We choose that. We choose as members of the body to function or not. We decide. It requires individual determination, individual effort. No question about that. And so there are individual admonitions and exhortations to grow. Study or be diligent to present yourself approved to God. Now, we as a congregation want to be approved, but individually we have to give diligence that each one of us as individuals are approved by God. Workmen that do not need to be ashamed. You see, rightly dividing the word of truth, each one of us are to hold fast the pattern of sound words. Each one of us are to add to our faith, you know, with diligence, virtue and knowledge and all those attributes we just read about in 2 Peter chapter 1. To be fruitful, not to be barren. To be secure in Christ. It's an individual effort to grow. And so there's a real sense that when we talk about edification, while it's a work of a local church, to be providing that which will help us grow, that's our work as a group, we as individuals must devote ourselves to that work individually for our own lives, for our own faith, strengthen ourselves. Look, for instance, it may be that we have to work on our speech as individuals. It says there in Ephesians 4:29, "Let no corrupt speech proceed out of your mouth, but such as is good for necessary edification, necessary building up." So we make an individual practice of being careful to use pure speech and speech that will build up, not tear down. That's what I'm talking about when we say we have an individual role in our own growth, in our own edification. We can't just say, expect somebody else is going to make us grow. We decide whether or not we're going to grow by applying our faith, by obeying the truth in our lives, doing what God wants of us. And so, to grow. Look at Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. And he says, "Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works." That means each one needs to consider others. Let us consider one another. Individual work. We have to each be considering one another to be able to stir up love and good works among ourselves. As he goes on to say, "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you say, see the day approaching." So in our assembling together, is providing an opportunity of stirring up the love and good works as an expression of the consideration of one another that we have for one another, to be urging good works, to be urging expressions of love among ourselves as we gather to worship God. And so the individual nature and responsibility of edification is clear. But let's make the point before we end this evening of it being a work of the local church. So it is specifically an element of work that God gives the local church to be about the task of building up the members in their faith. In Acts 9 and verse 31, there's a statement made about the condition of the churches in Judea and Galilee and Samaria. It says the churches throughout Judea, Galilee, and Samaria had peace and were edified. And walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, they were multiplied. So here are the churches being strengthened, being built up. Being built up because, you see, the word of the Lord had gone out from Jerusalem. They were being taught the gospel. People were believing it and obeying it. They were living that truth, fearing God. Being comforted, being exhorted and encouraged by the Holy Spirit. No doubt by the teaching the Spirit was giving. And by the fellowship received as a result of that teaching. Fellowship with God. And they were growing. How is it that a local church works to build up, to edify its members? Well, one way is through our worship assemblies. We read Hebrews 10, 24 and 5. We already read 1 Corinthians 14, 26. When you come together, let all things be done for edification. What's God's tool for edification? His Word. So when we follow His Word in worship, then we are achieving this work of helping to strengthen the members of the body of Christ, helping to edify one another. You see, as we give honor and homage to God, God has so arranged our worship that while He is being honored, we also are being benefited. We also are being strengthened. Singing illustrates the point. Colossians 3 and verse 19 or verse 16, where God says that we're to be similar to Ephesians 5. He said, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another." Now, why is teaching important? Because teaching builds us up. "I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up." So when we sing, it's to be songs that teach us. Not any song, not just any song. Psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. These that express grace and thanksgiving from our heart unto God. These that admonish. These that teach. "Be with me, Lord," as we sang tonight. "Just as I am." Exhorting and pleading and teaching us of God's merciful grace to save. And so we're built up as we worship, strengthened in our faith. The Lord's Supper certainly is an element of this, an application of it as well. 1 Corinthians 11 passage just read for us this morning at the table. In 1 Corinthians 11, 27-32, there is in the remembering of Christ our opportunity now, he says, to in that memorial be careful that we examine ourselves and we are remembering the death of Jesus. He says, whoever eats this bread and drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. So let a man examine himself and let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. I'm eating unworthily if I'm not discerning his body, as he goes on to say in verse 28 and 9. Let a man examine himself, verse 28 and 29. If I'm not, and the examination is that I'm remembering his body, that I'm remembering his blood. See, that's not what they were doing there. You see, he's answering the problem in Corinth. They came and they turned it into a meal, into satisfying themselves, and others were hungry, and they turned the purpose of supper into foolishness, into disrespect for God and disrespect for their fellow Christians. So he says, when you eat, you better have your mind on the right thing. You examine yourself and eat of the bread and drink of the cup. You discern the body of the Lord in this matter. And then you won't bring condemnation upon yourself when you eat. In other words, you'll be strengthened. You'll be strengthened in faith because you'll be living your faith. If we would judge ourselves, verse 31, we would not be judged. That is, if we'll discern ourselves, our minds, examine ourselves and keep our mind on the right thing and eat in the right way for the right purposes, with the right memory and remembrance, will not be condemned. And when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord. If we examine ourselves and our mind's not where it ought to be, we're not eating with the right purpose, with the right memory, then God's Word condemns us. God's Word says, you better repent of that, Joe. You better get your mind on business here. Why? That we may not be condemned with the world. God doesn't want us to be condemned. He wants us to be strong. He wants us to be in fellowship with Him. We can't eat the supper in an unworthy manner, you see, like they were doing, and expect some spiritual benefits. The spiritual benefit comes, you see, when you examine yourself and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup in memory of the Lord, the very purpose God attached to the supper. This is an element of our edification. This is part of the work that we do. And so, he had already said, when you come together, it's supposed to be to eat the supper, verse 20. Unfortunately, they weren't doing that. They had corrupted it, and it was becoming impossible for them too. And so, he corrects the problem. Once you see what it was not, these assemblies were not gathering times for recreation, for potlucks, for secular education, for crafts, for child care, for you name it. No, he said, if any man's hungry, let him eat at home. Lest you come together for judgment, for condemnation. Come together, worship assemblies are for our edification. As we follow God's Word in to worship in spirit and in truth. Of course, Bible teaching is a way a local church works to edify members. We already noted Acts 20th chapter, look at verse 28. When Paul says to the elders, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd or feed the church of God which he purchased with his own blood. Feeding the church of God with the Word of God builds up the church, builds up the members. In public preaching, Paul discoursed in Acts 20 and verse 7, he spoke the Word of God to the brethren who had assembled for worship on that occasion. Our Bible classes is another way in which we are building up as a congregation. We're doing the work of building up or edifying the members. Acts 11, 23 says that Barnabas came to Antioch, and when he had seen the grace of God, he was glad and encouraged them. Encouraged them all that with purpose of heart they should continue with the Lord. Now he was teaching the gospel. We know that from 26 because he found Saul and brought him with him to Antioch, and so it was for a whole year. They assembled with the church and taught a great many people. The disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. They were teaching people. Paul said, I taught you publicly and from house to house. Public teaching, private teaching, teaching children, teaching adults, teaching Christians, so that Christians can be equipped, you see. Going back to Ephesians 4, equipped to serve, equipped to function in the body of Christ as mature Christians that simply continue to strengthen the body of Christ more and more. The local church works to edify its members by disciplining sin. And one of the great tragedies of many churches of Christ is that they refuse to discipline sin. And by refusing to discipline sin, the work of edification is hindered. Why do parents discipline their children? In the correcting of those things that are wrong, it is to strengthen them in making proper decisions, to teach them and instruct them in what is right. It is that same principle at work when Paul, by the Holy Spirit, tells the local church, deliver that man who will not repent of sin to Satan to destroy the flesh so his spirit can be saved. It's that same principle at work when the apostle said, mark those who cause divisions contrary to the doctrine which you learned and cause stumbling and turn away from them. It's that same principle at work when he says, you have us for a pattern, follow the good example, because there are many out there who are enemies of the cross of Christ. You see, we have to discipline sin. The enemies of the cross cannot edify the body of Christ. And when the enemies of the cross of Christ, those who practice sin, those who live in sin, Christians who will not repent of sin, and they are not disciplined, then how is it that keeping sin in a body is going to help that body get stronger? How does that work? How is it that when we find disease in our body, we say, oh, that's okay. That disease won't hurt the body. It won't hurt me. And we just let it grow. Let it fester. Let it get worse. We know what happens. But we come to a body of Christ, a local church, and we say, oh, we can't do anything. Yes, we can. Part of our work of edification is to teach, to instruct, to admonish, to warn, to rebuke, to discipline, a whole range of correction, of instruction and correction to save souls and to save the local church, the other souls that are not presently infected but can be influenced by sin. A little leaven can leaven the whole lump, you see. 1 Corinthians 5, verse 7. Part of our work of edification is discipline. And when churches of Christ refuse to do that, they're not doing the work they need to be doing. It's part of our work. Part of our work is, of course, to be exhorting each other to do the things that are good. Look at this, and then we'll move on to our conclusion. 1 Thessalonians 5, 14 and 15. In the passage, the apostle says, now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly. And in this context, he may very well be speaking to the overseers here. Those who are laboring among you and such, he says, but whether he's specifically talking of the overseers or to all the brethren here, the principle is at work in either case. Warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, be patient with all, and see that no one renders evil to evil for anyone, but always pursue what is good both for yourselves and for all. Here is putting the Word of God into practice among ourselves, exhorting and urging each other, helping the weak, comforting the faint-hearted, showing patience toward one another, and enduring with one another, continuing to instruct one another, pursuing what's good and right. Galatians 6, 1, as you have opportunity to do good to all men, especially those of the household of faith. And so we exhort one another, a good thing, as we use God's Word to help strengthen each other. One of the works that God's given us as a local church is this matter of building us up spiritually, using the tool of God's Word to accomplish that through teaching, through exhortation, through discipline, and through the encouraging of each other in doing those things that bring honor to God. 1 Corinthians 14:26, as we've already read it, said, let all things be done for edification. When you come together, when we as a church work as a unit to do the work God's given us as a local church, let's understand that part of that important work is edification, building us up in the faith, strengthening us and equipping us to serve as members of His body. Now, if you're not a Christian, we want to teach you from God's Word that you need to be a part of His body. That will only happen when you will repent and be baptized into Christ so that He can add you to His church, so that you can be saved from your past sin. We hope you'll do that tonight. That if you'll confess Jesus as the Son of God, repent of your sin, we'll baptize you into Christ for the remission of your sins. As Christians, if you know you haven't grown like you should, you haven't been strengthened, in fact, you've fallen into sin, we want to encourage you to repent of it. If you'll do that and confess it to God, He'll forgive you. And if we can pray with you, or if you need to acknowledge public sin at this time, we want to help you accomplish that in your life. If you'll let that be known while we stand and sing, won't you come?
Jesus, Savior, in the spring.